This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our worship today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's program will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
When you hear people talking about the fear of God, what is your response? When last did you hear a sermon that had reference to the fear of God? We're going to talk about that today in the sermon. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that your word may speak to our hearts. Even in times when it says things that we do not like to hear. Grant, O God, that we do not try to take your word and smooth it out so that it fits our own feelings, but rather speaks directly to the truths that you want to reveal to us. So come, Holy Spirit, and take away that crushing emotion of the fear of God, and in a right way, turn it to become the love for God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This is the Festival of the Reformation. This is a Sunday when Protestant Christians rejoice to know that in Christ we have the forgiveness of our sins and that our salvation is completely by grace through faith in Christ alone. This was a great revelation that God gave to Luther as he was a professor at the University of Wittenberg, and the very heart of the Reformation movement. So we thank God for that. The second thing, today we're continuing our studies of these crushing emotions that sometimes can be very difficult on us. And I would like to tell you that a few days ago, I had the opportunity to visit the retreat center and to attend a conference there. The retreat center of Billy Graham in Asheville, North Carolina. If you ever have an opportunity to go to that retreat center, you should go. It is a marvelous place built into the Smoky Mountains. It is a place where you can relax and meditate and have good fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And it is a place that seems to have you surrounded with some of the greatest evangelical voices of the day. Billy Graham, of course, was not there. He is physically not able to be present with those people he would like to be with. And George Beverly Shea, who has brought so many great blessings to so many people through that glorious voice that God gave to him, was not there. And yet they were. And so, because it fits into what I want to say today, we're going to conclude this program today with George Beverly Shea singing for us via a CD, The Love of God. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for that glorious gospel that has been revealed to us and that is able to give peace to our hearts, comfort to our souls, strength when we are afraid, and vision when we are frustrated. So speak to us today through your holy word, for we ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Today, the crushing emotion that I'd like to center our thoughts around is fear. I'm sure that many of us are willing to admit that there are fears in our lives. We fear illness. Especially as we get older, I think we fear illness. We have financial fears, some do, more than others. There are fears that are related to the family. And sometimes we just plain fear certain people. Yeah, we have all kinds of fears. And the fear that I'd like to talk with you about today is the fear of God. Is anyone interested in that subject in our day? Have we come so far that we've reached for the knob, perhaps already in your own case when you hear that I'm going to preach on the fear of God and are anxious to shut off your radio or to go to another station? I realize that it is not the most popular topic in society. I realize that it is not the most popular topic in the church. For God knows that sometimes we do everything we can to even make our buildings not look like churches. And we have taken away the symbolisms, and we don't have an altar, and we don't have a pulpit in some cases, and we don't even have a cross. And you ask why? Well, it's something that's supposed to frighten people. To come into the church and they see a cross and they think, oh, this is some more of this old Christianity that we've heard so much about and is rooted and grounded in fear. So we don't want to have anything to do with that. So it is not a popular subject, the fear of God, even within the church. Some of you will perhaps say by now, I'm not interested. And if I were to ask you, why are you not interested, you would probably say, well, I am a practical atheist. By that I mean I can't remember fearing God ever in my life. I think that he has no place in my life at all. I don't give him any time. I didn't come from a religious home. This is the way I was raised. It's the way I'm raising my kids. I never went to church. My father and mother never went to church. We felt no need of going to church. We respected those who did go to church, but that was not for us. Our family didn't argue about whether or not there is a God. If there is one, he had no place in our lives. Many times the children then perhaps would come home and they'd say, why is it that we never mentioned God in our home? I don't know what a Sunday school is like, but my friends go to Sunday school on Sunday. What is this Christmas and Easter really all about? And you soon find out that the children don't have a clue. The human being is in charge of his or her own life, father and mother may say. And if other people need supposedly someone to help them, a religious deity, that's fine for them. But we don't need him. We're strong enough. Others may say, when you talk about the fear of God, I think that there may be a higher power, and there may be a God, but he's a very impersonal God. He certainly does not communicate with me, nor I with him. A prayer at the very best would only be a psychological means of our getting some frustrations out of our minds and souls. If there is a God, he loves everybody. If there is a heaven, we're all going to be there. One religion is as good as another. Why don't we stop building these religious divisions in our world? We are all the children of God. He's our Father. And that's as far as I'm willing to go. But you see, the problem is, friend, that for the Christian, that is not far enough. So if there are some of you who at least are interested to be with me for a little bit longer, on this Reformation Sunday, I would like to take you back to a person by the name of Martin Luther. Martin Luther was a person who was possessed, with a fear of God. He was born in November of 1483 in Eisleben, Germany. That's before Columbus discovered the United States of America. His family were very pious people and faithful members of the church and sent their children to church, went with them. The children learned that God had given them the Ten Commandments and that they were to obey them to the letter. And they also learned that the church had given 100 other laws and regulations that were to be obeyed. Luther had concluded, as he began to grow to adulthood, that he would never be able to win the favor of God. He had a brilliant mind, and he had the opportunity of furthering his education. So he went to become a student at the University of Law of Erfurt, and by 1505, he was studying law. But now his trouble began. Returning to the university at Erfurt from his home, one night he was in a terrible thunderstorm, and it caused him a great deal of fear that he was going to die. And there he would stand before this angry God. What would he do? And so he cried out to the patron saint of the miners, Saint Anna, if you will save me, I promise you that I will go to the monastery and become a monk. In 1507, Luther became a monk, and shortly thereafter was ordained a priest. It was then that he performed his first Mass, and it is said that he did it with fear and trembling, realizing that a mistake, either in what he said or the gesture of his body, could be a mortal sin. He was possessed with the fear of God. In 1512, he received the degree of Doctor of Theology, and he became Professor of Bible at the University of Wittenberg. Now he was to prepare lectures for his students, but his soul was not at rest. And how could he teach these young people? And how could he instill that same terrible fear, that crushing emotion, in their soul? Tormented as he was, he continued to study the scriptures. He talked to his peers. He talked to his superiors. They were not able to give him very much help. But one day, as he sat in his study, going over the scriptures, there was that still, small voice. And this is what it said. For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written. Now notice, the righteous will live by faith. Now here the Holy Spirit takes Luther, opens up his mind and his soul, and shows him salvation is a gift. It is not earned. You are saved, that is, you enter into a personal relationship with a loving God by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. It is all what God has done. And your works are not a contributing factor. They are a fruit of your faith, but they are not a contributing factor. Faith plus works will never save you. The still small voice said, you are saved by grace, and that's a gift. God offers us his forgiveness, and he restores us into a personal relationship with God. Thereby we get peace, and that replaces fear. We get the assurance of eternal life, and that replaces doubt about what my eternal destiny will be. I do not have to wonder what will happen to me when I stand before God Almighty, for I have been clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and Jesus has forgiven me my sins. God is a loving Father. He does not condone my sin, but he will forgive me. He is not a God who seeks to destroy his children. He is a loving Father, the creator of them all, who is anxious to save them. Through the merits of Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, who at the cross of Calvary had suffered and died for the sins of the world. The story of one person, Martin Luther, who found peace with God, though he had feared him desperately all of his life. That same love for God has found its way into the hearts of millions of people from the day of Jesus. Luther and all believers in Jesus Christ know. They know the meaning of the love of God. They know the meaning of this verse, that if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never, never be put to shame. The fear of God has been changed to the love of God. The crushing emotion of fear of God, has been taken away. And what a load to get off our shoulders by trusting in Jesus Christ. We meet this God of love in Jesus Christ in our Bibles. It is done as we sit silently in our own home and meditate upon some of these great verses. Let me read you. You're in the 42nd chapter of Isaiah. And there you'll read, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. Now just imagine you're one of these people who had the fear of God. And you hear your Father in heaven saying, I am your God. I will strengthen you, I'll help you, I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. Friend, do you want to live with that promise? A few days ago, I said to a very dear friend, the one thing that tortures me is that we who have the privilege of proclaiming this gospel do not make it clear enough. It is not just to learn the lesson. It is to learn the lesson that I am a sinner and that Jesus has died for my sins and that God will forgive me if I trust in Jesus. But it is to be used in such a way that the Holy Spirit can take these words and show you that God lifts you up and makes you His forever. And in that experience, the fear of God is erased, and it becomes a real love for the Lord. As we sit in our homes, you hear the Lord saying, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You're mine." Well, the universalists may say, well, if there is such a thing as a God, He's not concerned about one individual. That isn't what the Scriptures tell us. The Bible tells us that this Almighty God who has created heaven and earth calls us by name. So you ask, well, should I fear God? And the Bible's answer is yes. If Jesus is not your Savior, you're walking through this life on your own strength. And I don't know about you, but that would put a lot of fear in my heart. Should I really fear God? Yes. Outside of Jesus Christ, you should. Because one day, you stand before God Almighty to give an account. And I cannot give an account for my sins, they are so many. Only in Jesus Christ are they forgiven and taken away. And God says, come into my kingdom forever and ever. Yes, friend, it is a crushing, ugly emotion to fear God. But you don't have to fear Him. For it is He who says to you, as He once said to Isaac, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I want you for my child." And we'll let that fear leave us, for in Christ there is peace and joy. Now listen, as I mentioned to you earlier in the program, as George Beverly Shea, together with the choir, sings that marvelous, marvelous hymn, "The Love of God." Bathe your souls in it. Amen.
It shall forever.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. Oh, love of God, how rich and measureless and strong.
It shall forevermore endure
the saints and angels' song.
We can only see a little of the ocean as we stand on the rocky shore, but out there beyond the horizon, there's more, there's more. We can only see a little of God's loving, a few rich treasures from His mighty store. But out there beyond the horizon, there's more, there's more. Could we with ink the ocean fill, or were the skies of parchment made, were every star
talk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
to write the love of God above,
would drain the ocean dry.
Nor can the scroll contain the whole,
though stretched from sky to sky.
Pray with me. Thank you, Father, for giving us that word. That word that tells us, in trusting Christ, our fear of God can be replaced with a great love for Him. O Lord, we pray that if there is no relationship with the Lord, we may begin to give serious thought to what it would be like to live without Him, and to die without Him. Certainly, any human being who would think of that objectively would have to say, maybe there is reason to fear. But if you can lead us that far, then lead us also to Calvary and to the forgiveness of our sins, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's gospel message will guide and comfort you in the week ahead. As a nonprofit ministry, we depend on your financial support to buy airtime on stations throughout the country. We thank you for your diligent prayers and generous gifts. October is calendar month at Christian Crusaders. We would like to send you a free 2006 calendar. This nature calendar features beautiful four-color portraits of spectacular scenes in the United States with a different Bible verse for each month. To receive your free calendar, just call or write. We will need your name, mailing address, and the station where you hear Christian Crusaders. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Waterloo Cedar Falls, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Today's service is also available to be heard or read on the internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 70th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.